the local talk concerning our COVID-19 response on KHOY Community Radio, where we explore people's stories and events in Central Iowa. Good to get together again to provide facts to our community through Zoom technology and word of mouth. Thank you for listening. I am Pat Schlarb. I'm your host for the hour. And my good friend and neighbor, Mike Metz of Milford Township and keeper of the Prairie Wind Prairie. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Pat. How are you?
How is it out in the hinterland in your area?
Well, I can tell you that sometimes I can see 2 miles, and in the next 10 seconds, it's down to 10 feet right now. So the snow is heavy, but it blows continuously.
Yeah, okay. And, hey, because we are the heart of Iowa, Anna Magnuson, a.k.a. Anna Banana, is here with her heart-to-heart messages from KHOI. Hi, Anna.
Hey, happy Blizzardy Friday to all the listeners out there.
Okay. We'll enjoy your heart-to-heart later in the hour. And we're going to be visiting a new business here in Ames, In Spirit Metaphysical. And through Zoom technology, we'll be joined later in the hour by Susan Guasta, Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames, with Vanessa Baker-Latimer, our Ames Housing Coordinator, who will provide an update on virtual Martin Luther King Day celebrations planned for January 18th. And other activities to get involved honoring the ways and means of Martin Luther King. So, folks, the weather will be a blizzard, near blizzard conditions. That's going to continue significantly throughout the remainder of the day until 6 p.m. I guess it's blizzard warnings. There's additional snow accumulations expected between 3 and 5 inches, wind gusting as high as 50 miles per hour. Now, snow's going to let up over the weekend, but again, possible snow on Monday. Then a pretty decent forecast with highs in the low 30s next week. So now let's welcome Dennis Hart, a master at gathering the news for this week from the pages of the Ames Tribune.
The coronavirus continued making big news on the pages of the Ames Tribune this past week, as it did for most of last year. But the biggest story in the Trib, as it was in every major newspaper in the nation, was the impeachment of President Trump on Wednesday. The U.S. House of Representatives impeached the president for inciting an insurrection during the recent attack on the U.S. Capitol. Trump became the first president in the nation's 245-year history to be impeached twice. Iowa's congressional delegation voted along party lines. Democratic Congresswoman Cindy Axne voted for impeachment. The state's 3 Republican congressional members, including Randy Feenstra of the 4th Congressional District, which includes Ames, voted against impeachment. All this in yesterday's Tribune. Now let's go back to our usual chronological look at the week's news, starting with last Friday, when the Trib reported that 56 more cases of the coronavirus had been confirmed in Story County. That brought the total number of cases in the county to 8,273 since the pandemic began. The county's 14-day positivity rate was 10.5%. The Trib also reported that a provision in Governor Reynolds' emergency proclamation about the coronavirus that stated that driver's licenses would not be considered expired if the expiration date was between January 16th of last year and January 8th of this year ended last Saturday. But the good news was, of the 29,000 licenses that expired at the end of last month, many are still within the state's 60-day grace period. And the Trib reported that a car had struck a train at a railroad crossing south of McCallsburg. It took place at 150th Street between 650th and 660th Avenues. A Honda Accord heading westbound on 150th Street collided with a northbound Union Pacific train at the uncontrolled railroad intersection. No injuries were reported. The sheriff's office warned drivers to slow down or stop and look both ways before going through railroad crossings that do not have gates that drop down. Saturday's paper reported that 37 more coronavirus cases had been confirmed in Story County. That brought the total number of cases in the county to 8,310 since the pandemic began. The county's 14-day positivity rate remained at 10.5%. There was also word that Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds had called for faster nursing home vaccinations against the coronavirus, and that national pharmacy chains were moving too slowly to get those vaccine shots to residents of nursing homes and assisted living facilities. CVS and Walgreens have been working to vaccinate those elderly residents. In Iowa, nursing home residents represent less than 1% of the state's population, but account for more than a quarter of Iowa's deaths from the virus. There was also a story about Martha's House of Hope in Ames. The nonprofit opened in 2019 and offers free housing to pregnant women until their baby's first birthday. Six women have lived at the house for some period of time, and two mothers and their babies are current residents. All residents are expected to accept mentoring and counseling services, as well as work or volunteer 20 to 40 hours a week. The organization also offers job coaching, parenting classes, and assistance with adoption processes. And the Trib reported that an Ames Parks and Recreation concert series, called Virtually Anywhere, would bring live music to people's homes while the need for social distancing during the coronavirus pandemic continues. The concerts, live streamed from the Ames City Auditorium, were set to kick off last night. Future live concerts will be broadcast on YouTube and Facebook on Thursday nights through the end of March. Featured artists will come from Ames and from other parts of central Iowa. Sunday's paper reported that when Iowa lawmakers began their new legislative session on Monday, more than two dozen new faces would take their oaths of office. Republicans continued to control both chambers of the legislature, meaning they can pass bills without Democratic support. Republicans hold 59 seats in the House of Representatives. Democrats hold 41. In the state Senate, Republicans hold 31 seats. The Democrats have 18. Of those totals, 18 new members were sworn into the House, 7 into the Senate. 28% of all the legislators are women. The Trib also reported on the legislative priorities for Central Iowa lawmakers in the new legislative session. Among those priorities, education, broadband, natural resources, and the continued response to the coronavirus pandemic. Democratic State Senator Herman Kornbach of Ames said he is concerned that a drop in enrollment could impact the education budget. Public school enrollment dropped by nearly 6,000 this year, much of that due to the ongoing pandemic. Jesse Green, a Republican state senator from Harcourt, said he wants to change the formula for public school funding to give some relief to Iowa's property tax rates. Republican state senator Annette Sweeney of Buckeye said she's in favor of leaving decisions about how schools should be teaching during the pandemic, either in person or remotely, to the school districts themselves. Democratic state senator Ross Wilburn of Ames said local school boards and teachers should make decisions about how to make their way through the pandemic, and said he wants the state legislature to focus on extending the foreclosure prevention program, food insecurity, and extending the Iowa Small Business Relief Grant program while the pandemic continues. Tuesday's paper reported that 89 more coronavirus cases had been confirmed in Story County over the weekend. That brought the total number of cases in the county to 8,399 since the pandemic started. The county's 14-day positivity rate was said to be 11%. There was also word that Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds and state lawmakers are considering a requirement for school districts to offer classroom instruction 5 days a week. That's a move that would affect schools that continue to limit in-person instruction during the pandemic. The push by Reynolds comes 6 months after she outlined a requirement for schools to hold at least half their classes in person during the pandemic unless the state grants them a waiver. Democrats say they worry that a statewide mandate could force teachers and students into classrooms that are not healthy. The debate will be among the key issues at this year's state legislative session, which started this past Monday. And there was word that Governor Reynolds had ordered all flags in Iowa to be lowered to half-staff after two U.S. Capitol police officers died following last week's riot at the nation's capital. Flags will be at half-staff at the Iowa Capitol and all public buildings, grounds, and facilities. Businesses, schools, and individuals were encouraged to fly their flags at half-staff. Wednesday's Tribune reported that another person in Story County had died from the coronavirus. That brought to 33 the total number of county residents who have died from the virus. In addition, another 38 cases of the virus were confirmed in the county, and that brought the total number of confirmed cases to 8,437 in the county since the pandemic began. The county's 14-day positivity rate was 10.5%. Meanwhile, at Iowa State University, another 39 coronavirus cases were confirmed from the week that ended this past Sunday. That included 25 students and 14 faculty and staff members, and that brought the total number of virus infections in the university community to 2,428 since August 1st. ISU started its 5-week winter session on December 14th, and the university's spring semester will begin on January 25th. The Trib also had word about recent coronavirus cases reported by area school districts. The Ames School District reported fewer than 6 cases among students, as did the Ballard School District. In Gilbert, the school district reported that 11 students had tested positive, while the Roland Story School District reported 5 students had tested positive. The Nevada School District reported that 1 student had tested positive. The Trib also had word about the 4-day in-person school week the Ames School District's middle and high schools could move to. The school board had voted last month to bring elementary schools back to 100% on-site learning after winter break. The middle school and high school now have students meeting 5 times in person every 2 weeks. One possible model is a Monday through Thursday in-person school week, with Friday being an optional day at the high school level for students to have meetings with teachers, either virtually or in person. The possible decision to take Friday off takes into account that the biggest shortage of substitute teachers takes place typically on Mondays and Fridays. Even with a 4-day in-person schedule, schools will continue giving parents the option to have their children continue learning fully online. The Trib also reported that more than 3,100 coronavirus vaccine shots have been given in Story County since the middle of last month. Story County and the rest of Iowa have not reached the point of vaccinating the general public. Frontline healthcare workers and residents and staff in long-term care facilities have been first in line to get the vaccine. The next group to get the vaccine will include school employees, public works employees, and non-medical first responders. Yesterday's paper, Thursday's, reported, of course, the latest impeachment of President Trump. The Trib also had word that Ames City Council members and Mayor John Hala had condemned last week's riots at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. At Tuesday's council meeting, the mayor said that what had transpired there has no place in either Ames or Story County. The council also voted to set a public hearing for January 26th on the potential use of eminent domain for flood mitigation efforts. And the council heard that the Octagon Center for the Arts in Ames wants to use its third floor as a new meeting place for local artists in need of space to do their work. And the Trib reported that 45 more coronavirus cases had been confirmed in Story County, bringing the total number of cases in the county to 8,482. The county's 14-day positivity rate, 10.6%. And that is your summary of another consequential week of news from the pages of the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, taking the weekend off now and hoping to have a quiet one, but planning to return to this same virtual seat this coming Monday, when I'll have word on what's been making news around the state. And there's been a whole lot of that. Between now and then, why not do your best to stay safe and healthy so we can all get together again on Monday.
If today was not a crooked highway, if tonight was not a crooked trail, if tomorrow wasn't such a long time, lonesome would mean nothing to you at all. Yes, and only if my own true love was waiting, if I could hear her heart softly pounding. Yes, and only if she was lying by me, could I lie in that bed once again.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, for the week in the news and your passion for your journalistic craft. You love is appreciated so very much. And the music interlude was a Bob Dylan song sung by Phosphorescence, Tomorrow is a Long Time. And in our quest to bring you people, stories, and events in Central Iowa, let's go just down the street to 114 Kellogg, to a familiar building, and let's get to know a new business, In Spirit.
Yep, used to be Biden's election campaign office.
I love the color green.
Yep, we figured green is luck, prosperity, abundance, and a very welcoming and opening color.
So what is the name of your business, and what is your mission?
Our business is called In Spirit Metaphysical. We are the largest metaphysical and paranormal store in Iowa. And our mission is to help educate and teach others about the energy that exists all around us.
And energy, is that a good term for metaphysical?
Well, we can use the term energy because a lot of people understand that aspect. Most people don't want to hear about spirits or spiritual energy, entities, angels, demons, and so on. But if human life exists, everything else exists. A blade of grass is just as important as a human life, because if you don't have that grass, that oxygen, the energy from it, human life is not going to exist. There's a coexistence, and that's what we're trying to put through to people and help them to understand that coexistence with energy.
So, you mentioned the blade of grass. I love the metaphor of the trees being our lungs of the planet.
Exactly. And not just the green plants, not just the clouds in the sky, but the dirt beneath your feet, the water flowing in the creeks and the oceans. All of that is connected, because if you lose one aspect of it, you lose human life.
About your store, you walk into the store, and what's your address?
114 Kellogg. In Spirit Metaphysical, we are the energy seekers and teachers to the community.
Uh-huh. And you open the door and you're welcomed by a big welcome sign. But the aroma alone is so inviting.
Well, thank you very much. We do try. We have over 25 different incenses. We have 15 different types of sages that we use, and all of our sages is sourced ethically with the okay from the Native American tribes, as I am also Native American. I'm Cheyenne and Arapaho. So we help to teach the importance of all things, all energies, and how sacred plants can actually be used to help improve our lives.
So it's used for cleansing, or what is the purpose of
sage is used for ceremonial applications with a lot of different Native American tribes. They use that to bless and cleanse the area spiritually. So when they do their vision walks, the sun dances, and all this type of stuff, usually your shamans will cleanse the area and cleanse the people of the energies so that they can experience things differently and naturally. There is a lot of talk about sage being used by non-natives. And the main thing with that is the Native American tribes don't want it commercially sourced and lose the significance of what the sacred plant of sage is. And that's one thing that we try and teach people when they come in, is that sage is very sacred, and it's used blessings, cleansings, rituals. They also use it to expel energy and raise energy levels. And we have actually taught people how to cleanse their homes with it in the proper manner, instead of turning around and just waving it around thinking that they're doing something. It's teaching them that it can move energy. And if they understand how to move that energy out of their home, it makes it a more inviting spot.
You know, we're talking about plants. I want to talk about sweetgrass.
We do sell sweetgrass as well. And there again, our sweetgrass comes from Native tribes. Mm-hmm. And we have their okay and their permission to use it. And we sell it in two different forms. We sell the 17-inch long braids that most people are common knowledge with, but we also have them broke up down into 5 to 6 inch pieces, which makes it a little easier to smudge your own home or to use it in your own home. I don't know too many people that want to waft around a 17-inch long piece of sweetgrass, but they're so wonderful. I love it.
What we call flat cedar or white cedar?
Right now I don't have white cedar, but I have gnarled red cedar, which comes from Fort Garland, Colorado, off of our father's property down there. When he turns around and one of his trees die or get damaged by winds or rains or whatever, he cuts it down, and we take that cedar and we make our own cedar sticks to be able to use at homes.
And a lot of interest in the tobacco.
Yep. Tobacco is one of the things that the state of Iowa doesn't want you to sell without ATF certification. So we don't sell tobacco itself, but tobacco is used for protecting a property. It's used for offerings quite a bit with Native American tribes.
Not so much for smoking.
No, not necessarily. It's used as like saying, we're sorry for everything that has happened, you know, we want to make peace with that. Would you allow us, you help us with our situation here? And we've taught people how to give blessings or offerings to Native American spirits. And every case that we've done that has had a Native American spirit, we've had remarkable luck with it.
And there's a lot of herbs.
Yep, we have over 220 different herbs, ranging from rosemary to mandrake to bloodroot, various other things. There are some things that are toxic that we sell, and we let people know that they are. And we have stuff that comes from only one spot in the world. We have Dittany of Crete that only comes from the island of Crete. It's only grown there. It's not grown anywhere else. We sell Palo Santo, which is ethically sourced. The tree actually has to fall on its own. It has to die off on its own. Then it has to sit anywhere from 6 to 10 days before it's even moved, touched, or anything happens to it. Then once that happens, they have shamans or the medicine men of the tribes come in. They do a sacred ritual with it. They bless the tree. They ask for its forgiveness for taking it. And then they use every single part of it, the roots, the leaves, the bark, everything. And it only comes from South America.
Quite a vast sense of awareness on herbs and plants.
Yes.
To the planet. But if you don't mind, how many years has this been your walk or your path?
It has been, this part of it has been my path for well over 30 years. And I am a gifted person, very sensitive, and I've been able to see, hear, talk to, and to some extent control and bind the dead since I was 3 years old. So it makes for an interesting life, let me tell you.
It's nice of you to share it with us. Let's talk about the energy at the door sill.
The energy at the door sill, we actually have it gridded, and gridding means putting up a protection. Okay, just like you would like a box around something. We have 3 citrine cathedrals, and a cathedral is usually a large geode that has been cracked and polished on one side so that you can see inside of it.
Yeah, it's maybe 12 inches wide and maybe 3-4 feet high.
Yep.
And it's just, they're beautiful. They're amazing.
They're absolutely gorgeous.
Come in to see.
Oh, yes. I would recommend it. And then we have an amethyst cathedral that faces back toward the door. So if anything that you're uncomfortable about or have something negative, you know, negative emotions, negative energy, when you come through the door, it pushes that back outside the door so that you can actually experience what the entire store is all about and have a safe sanctuary that you can walk in, feel welcome, and feel just what the energy of the store actually is.
You said you allow the visitor to learn or experience on their time frame.
Right.
What is it about a guest for the first time? How does your demeanor adjust to their presence?
Usually what we do, we greet them all with open arms. We don't turn anybody away, no matter what their situation. And we'll ask them if they need any help. We'll point them out to a couple of different areas. Usually it's our stones. And the reason why we do the stone energy is everything has energy. That energy will talk to you if you let it. And stone energy is one of the most common energies to be able to speak to the human senses.
Is there anything else about the stones? There's a lot of stones here.
We have well over 230 stones, and that's all in tumbled form. We also have it in free forms, and what a free form is just a larger piece of stone that's been polished. Okay, sometimes they form little towers, sometimes they just form like egg shapes or half moons. And what we actually try and do is bring you over to areas according to either zodiac or energy association that you feel, to an area where you may feel more comfortable, more welcome with the stones. We have some stones that you can only find in certain areas of the planet. We brought in one that is called a master stone that is Vesuvianite, and it is found off of the base of Mount Vesuvius in Italy.
Oh.
And it is one of these that can help with spiritual, mental, physical, everything. It just has the ability to react to the person on all levels. And then we have a lot of different quartzes. We have another master stone called...
Now why would that be? Why a lot of different quartzes? What?
The reason for the different quartzes is quartz is an amplifier of energy. So it's kind of like putting a battery system into your car. Okay, without a battery, you're not going to run. And quartz is like a major battery. It'll amplify everything. It'll amplify a room. It'll amplify sound. It'll amplify energy, vibrations. And each one of the quartzes activate on a different level with people. We have some that are what we call reconstituted quartz, which means that the quartz has been crushed. and then iron or hematite has been added to it to give it a different color, and then it's reformed. And that one helps students' concentration. It helps on memory retention. So it's a great stone for students, for people going to Iowa State, going through those major tests that you have to go through at Iowa State. Or for somebody that works a lot on a computer, it helps out as well.
Energy subtract.
Exactly. And one of the great things that we do with our stones is when we do match your energy to a stone, we actually ask you to close your eyes so that you're not seeing the stone. And the reason for that is human nature is to go, oh, this is pretty. This is the one I want. Okay, but that stone may not speak to you on the energy level that you need. So we actually take your hand, which would be your non-dominant hand, the one that you don't use to write with, you don't use the most, and we have you put your hand over the stone and close your eyes. And you'll feel a pull from the stones down to whichever stone it is, and that's the stone that we tell you, that's the one that's telling you it's willing to work with your energy and help you out in the areas you need.
There's plants, stone. Is there anything else that you want to...
And we also sell the neck gaiter masks, those long kind of bandana masks that fit up over the ears. And they're a lot easier to breathe in.
Oh.
They don't sweat as badly. Mm-hmm. And they keep your neck warm because they go all the way around behind your neck and up over your ears. So I welcome everybody to come in. There is a lot to see.
Yes, sir.
So if you feel drawn to anything that Teresa was explaining, that was Teresa Larson with the In Spirit Metaphysical. They're down at 114 Kellogg. And we had quite a discussion concerning tarot cards, and I got my own stone. I guess maybe I'll save that for next time. And they do have these marvelous gaiters. There was a moon gaiter that they were sold out of that I'm going to stop back in and see if I can ramp up my wardrobe of the masks. But let's have a bit of a music break, and then we'll be right back with Susan Guiazda.
Now there's beauty in that silver singing river. There's beauty in that rainbow in the sky. Oh, but none of these and nothing else can touch the beauty that I remember in my true love's eyes. Yes, and only if my own true love was waiting, if I could hear her heart softly pounding. Yes, and only if she was lying by me would I lie in my bed once again. So if today was not a crooked highway, if tonight was not a crooked trail, if tomorrow wasn't such a long time, and lonesome would mean nothing to you at all.
Phenology is recording nature's happenings in a journal when they occur. The first bluebird of spring or the last wood duck of autumn are noted in a journal for future reference. Today's phenology are the Arctic snowbirds of the tundra overwintering in Iowa. A drive along our windswept gravel roads will provide rare glimpses into the flocking behavior of what appear to be common house sparrows. Driving up upon the flock, they all rise synchronously and fly a short distance, only return to the special spot of gravel after you have passed. They appear to be selecting small bits of gravel for grit, and foraging for any waste grain along the roadway is a bonus. There are primarily three snowbirds each winter in Iowa, called hornlarks, Lapland longspurs, and snowbuntings, enjoying our sub-zero temperatures. First, the hornlarks. Look carefully at a bare brown field, especially in winter, and you may be surprised to see it crawling with little brown shapes. When they turn, you may see a neat yellow face, a black mask, and tiny black horns waving in the breeze. Though they are still common, they have undergone a sharp decline in the last half century. The barer the ground, the more hornlarks like it. Look for them in open country with very short or no vegetation, including bare agricultural fields. They breed in short grassland, short-stature sage shrubland in the deserts, and even alpine and Arctic tundra. Hornlarks are social birds, sometimes found in huge flocks outside of the breeding season. They often mix with other open country species in winter flocks, including longspurs and the snow buntings. So the Lapland longspur is a common songbird of the Arctic tundra. The Lapland longspur winters in open fields across much of the United States and southern Canada. Longspur refers to the elongated claw of the hind toe. Some winter flocks of Lapland longspurs have been estimated as large as 4 million birds. During snowstorms, such flocks sometimes collide with lighted structures such as radio towers, and thousands can be killed in a single night. The Lapland longspur breeds in the high Arctic with continual daylight during the summer, and a breeding male may sing at any hour of the day. Despite the lack of a real dawn, the male tends to sing most in early morning. The oldest recorded Lapland longspur was at least 5 years old when it was recaptured and re-released during banding operations in Alaska. Lapland longspur is common and widespread, but there is little information on population trends. Partners in Flight, a global non-governmental conservation group, estimates a breeding population of 130 million, with 42% breeding and migrating through the United States. And snow buntings. They are appropriately named. The snow bunting is a handsome bird of the high Arctic and snowy winter fields. Even on a warm day, the mostly white plumage of a bunting flock evokes the image of a snowstorm. Other coloration of snow buntings have brown on the back and their face, with black tail and white outer feathers. The male snow bunting returns to its high Arctic breeding grounds in early April, when temperatures can still dip as low as minus 22 degrees. There is still snow, covers most of the Arctic. The female does not return until 4 to 6 weeks later. Underneath the colored feather tip, the back feathers are pure black and the body feathers are all white. The male wears off all the feather tips by actively rubbing them on snow, and he is immaculately white and jet black by the time breeding begins. Of the three snowbirds in Iowa, the snow bunting is the rarest, and some feel the most beautiful. In your travels across Iowa's gravel roads this winter, enjoy the dynamic flight of these snowbirds to Iowa. They provide uplifting moments to a desolate winter landscape in our agricultural areas of the state. And that's our phonology for today. This is Pat Schlarbaum with KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames.
Without a little barley cold.
And you're listening to KHOI Community Radio on Local Talk, and I'm Pat Schlarbaum with co-host Michael Metz and engineer Mike Murphy. Hey, Mike Metz, are you planning on watching any snowbirds later on?
Well, I'm definitely going to go out there, Pat. And, you know, one of the snowbirds that a lot of folks mistaken as a snowbird, but it's a harbinger of winter, is the dark-eyed junco. A lot of folks call that a snowbird, but the three that you covered are more what we associate as our snowbirds.
Yeah, I got to love the dark-eyed juncos. But thank you for that.
The one thing about the buntings that's really a flash is their primaries, their wingtips are black with that white body, and it just against the background is great.
Yeah. Well, they'll be welcome visitors, as are the trumpeter swans. Hey, but In our quest to strengthen our community through communication, let's include Susan Guiazda on Zoom. Hello.
Hi. Great to be here this very snowy morning. I'm going to have to look for some birds now.
Yeah. Everything's going to be at their best to survive.
I just want to remind all your listeners that we did enact the snow ordinance last night. It's at 10 p.m. And that snow ordinance requires vehicles to move off snow routes. Those are primarily Cyride routes. But if your street is marked with a red and white snow route sign, you need to make sure your vehicle is not parked along the street. Mm-hmm. And there are two parts to this snow ordinance. You may not return your vehicle to the street until, one, it has stopped snowing, which I don't think it has yet.
Yeah.
And two, the snowplow has plowed your street from curb to curb, which means it's gone and made all the passes and both sides of your street are cleared. So it could be a while for this snow incident. It looks like it's going to snow most of the day today.
Yeah, that's the forecast, 3 to 5 inches additional. So, but we will get through it.
We will. We will. And I wanted to bring some more positive news to the show today. I brought with me Vanessa Baker Latimer because she has been an integral planner in the annual Martin Luther King Jr. celebration. I'm so excited for what they have planned this year in a very unusual year since we're not gathering in person. Mm-hmm. Vanessa has a lot of great information on how to celebrate this year.
Welcome, Vanessa.
Hi ho, hi ho. It's off to snow we go.
Well, I sure enjoyed the Martin Luther King program last January. What do you have in store for us this year?
Well, you know, everything's been virtual because of COVID-19, and we said, hey, we need to find a way to continue to celebrate the life and legacy of Martin Luther King. And so we have partnered with the City of Ames to put on an event for Monday, January 18th. It's going to be showcased through the MLK Facebook page, which is Ames MLK Celebration. And it's also going to be through the City of Ames YouTube channel. So people have two options to join in. And we're so excited. This year, we're going to have the first high school essay contest. We put out a contest for high school students to send us an essay after reading or reviewing anything or impact of Martin Luther King may have had on their life, specifically his letter to from the Birmingham jail, which we think is still so relevant today and things that are happening that he wrote in the letter. So we wanted to get the perspective of high school students on how they felt that relevance is today. And so we have gotten 9 entries. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I can't wait to showcase the high school students. And we did high schools around Story County. So we're also gonna have some musical selections, some videos and PowerPoints. And then our keynote speaker this year is Wayne Clinton, who's a longtime resident of Ames and a former high school educator and county board of supervisors and currently on our Human Relations Commission.
Yeah, Mr. Clinton, what an esteemed keynote speaker that you've included with the students. I love this about the Martin Luther King celebration is how you weave in the positive impacts that a civil rights leader has upon another generation. And the man, his reputation, everything we think of is so exemplary of the volunteerism that he promoted and has kind of taken. Will there be volunteer activities or will this that you're aware of this year, or is that going to be a casualty to COVID?
No, Ann Owens from the Volunteer Center has planned some virtual volunteers for MLK Day of Service. So we try to leave nothing out for MLK celebration. So if you go to their website, you can find a way where you can volunteer virtually this year for the MLK Day of Service. So again, we try to leave no stone unturned to celebrate this year, especially with the turbulence and the division and strife that's happening in our country, we need to make sure we continue to celebrate his legacy.
I really enjoyed the choir last year. Will the music be, is that going to be possible, or how is the music adapting to this year's gathering?
Well, again, we have left no stone unturned, and so I don't want to reveal everything you're going to have to
okay,
do.
There you go.
Okay. We have plans. So again, it's going to be live through the Ames MLK Celebration Facebook page and through the city's YouTube channel, and it starts at 6:30 on Monday, January the 18th. But again, we have tried to really continue the celebration.
Mm-hmm. 6:30. Is it a couple hours like it previously?
We're hoping, because everything is virtual and we have different formats of videos and live and all of that. So it may last maybe an hour and 45 minutes, 50 minutes somewhere. We're still going to try to keep it within that range, because we know that a lot of things have been through virtuals and people may be having a little fatigue, but hopefully with the platform we have, the program we have set aside, everybody will still be excited to see more.
Well, Vanessa, we still have a few more minutes. Would it be okay to ask you how the Martin Luther King celebrations have impacted your life in your life?
Well, certainly growing up, he was very influential in my household, and he was obviously a leader that people of African American descent felt that the way we can accomplish things is not through violence, but through peace and through showing the content of our character. And that's certainly what I was raised on. My philosophy of my parents was bred in me that we get more through love than we get through hate, and that we base everything that we do on our character and not on our color. And even though that we still see things based on race and color and division, that is not what I grew up on, and that's not what's in my heart. So I continue to want to push that message out that we can accomplish much as we come unified together and not see each other through color, but just see through each other through our accomplishments together.
Yes, sir. So essentially, have you always had the opportunity to celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday as a little girl, or all through your life?
All through our life. I mean, his legacy is just impactful for, again, the African American community, especially through our churches. That was an integral part, because he was a minister. And so that message was always in our churches and in our community and in our schools before segregation, before integration.
Yeah, I was, pretty young, 14. I recall the early civil rights movement kind of from its start. I can't help but kind of draw a comparison to the mood of the nation in the civil rights movement in the early 60s. And then the tragedy, the horrific events that occurred at the Edmund Pettus Bridge in, I think, spring of 1965. And it essentially shocked the nation that sort of process of nonviolent pushing an issue forward could be met with such extreme violence. I've always wondered then it brought about the Civil Rights Voting Act in 1965. I think that was by July. The president and everybody had really come to realize that it was time to make some adjustments. Are we in that same mind frame, or how do you feel where the Black Lives Matter of last summer will be mature into any sort of a policy evolution or development?
I hope so, and not to age myself, but I grew up remembering going to the movie theaters where we could only go in one part of the movie theater if you wanted to watch a movie. The March on Washington when I was in junior high school and seeing everybody on the streets.
moving towards Washington and being a part of that. And my brother and my uncle got in trouble because they walked with the march all the way to Greensboro, North Carolina, and didn't tell my parents. And so they got in trouble for that. But they were just so excited about being part of something that was history making. And I think the marches then and the marches now for Black Lives Matter and Black lives are important. It's still having to be done but what's great about this is that there's a generation that's growing up knowing that we all should be treated by our character and not our color. So these movements are so important to see people of all colors participating. This, again, is not about color. So I'm excited to see what can come out of continuing this effort.
Well, we certainly want to thank you for all of your efforts in maintaining the Martin Luther King life, his life, and all the things that it can bring to our culture in the 21st century.
Thank you for the opportunity to share that we're having the event on Monday, January 18th at 6:30 on Facebook and YouTube. And you have a great day and stay safe.
Stay safe. Same to you, Vanessa. Thank you so much for being on this morning. Susan, is there anything else?
No, I just wanted to mention an easy way to get those links to the Martin Luther King celebration is off our city website, right off the front page on the calendar. Click on that event, the January 18th date, and you can get the links right there, so you don't have to type them in.
Yeah.
We would love to see a great turnout.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate we can't meet in person, so let's celebrate virtually.
And I think we really are adapting. We're learning the strength of this new form of outreach, and it's, you know, from our own living rooms, and it kind of makes it that much more personable and special.
Well, I enjoy spending time with you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Susan Guiazda, the Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames, and Vanessa, thank you again, Vanessa Baker Latimer with the City of Ames.
Thank you. Have a great day.
It'll be wonderful checking in with you on Monday at 6:30.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Great.
Okay, I think we've got a little bit of time here. Let's welcome Anna Banana. Are you in the house?
I am in the house, and I just thank you so much for another great program. I will definitely check on those links, and I also wanted to give a shout-out. Because of Local Talk, I participated in the Virtually Anywhere concerts that the city is hosting, I think, at the Ames City Auditorium. And last night, a performer named B. Ellsbury, I listened to that while I was doing my laundry and stuff at the apartment, and that musician had such a beautiful voice, and it was just an amazing experience. So thank you to Local Talk for introducing me to that Virtually Anywhere concert that I could participate in. So that's because of Local Talk connecting us.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's it.
Yes, I love it.
It's another example of how we're trying to move forward together and not leave anybody out.
Yes, it was really whoever that B. Ellsbury, I'd never heard of her before, but she has an incredible voice and what a talent. But as I looked out today, Pat and everybody and Local Talk, and I saw that it was blizzarding with the snow, and again, heard of the Local Talk to keep my car off the road, I decided to do a heart-to-heart message that has to do with the blizzard. And so I found this little poem to start off with called Stormy. And it goes like this. Silver clouds close in as latent snow flakes descend, and the wind transforms into a lamenting wolf, taking the prairie by storm. So I thought maybe Mike Metz would like that, since both of you are on the prairie, and thinking about as looking out at the blizzardy condition.
Yeah.
The other heart-to-heart message, I really love this one because I'm a huge Laura Ingalls Wilder fan. And so I found this post by Pamela Smith Hill, and she wrote this. School is closed. Store shelves are bare. Families are confined at home. No, it isn't COVID-19. It's The Long Winter by Laura Ingalls Wilder, a book that is suddenly more relevant than ever. On the surface, it might seem that a long winter and a viral pandemic have little in common. But, like families today, the Ingalls family in The Long Winter battles an uncontrollable threat to their existence, not just to the fabric of everyday life, but to life itself. The novel is autobiographical, based on the hard winter of 1880 to 1881. In a memoir, Pioneer Girl, Wilder described it as a malignant power of destruction. In the long winter, the hard winter becomes a character in its own right, always there outside the wall, waiting, sometimes, then pouncing, shaking the house, roaring, snarling, and screaming in a rage. But the Ingalls family doesn't give up, and despite that awful, seemingly endless winter, they and the town survive. And their survival strategies seem especially relevant now as the world grapples with COVID-19. In scene after scene, as winter drags on, Laura struggles against her rising fears and the monotony of everyday life. The coffee mill's handle grounds round and round. It must not stop. It seemed to make her part of the whirling winds driving the snow round and round over the earth and in the air, whirling and beating at Pa on his way to the stable, whirling and shrieking at the lonely houses, whirling the snow between them and up to the sky and far away, whirling forever over the endless prairie. Yet Laura doesn't give in to despair, nor does anyone else in the family. Perhaps the most relevant of the family survival strategies. In one powerful scene near the end of the book, when the family doesn't yet know the outcome of Alonzo and Cap's search for seaweed, Pa addresses the hard winter directly and shakes his clenched fist at the northwest. "How, blast you, how," he shouted. "We're all here safe. You cannot get at us. You tried all winter, but we'll beat you yet. We'll be right here when the spring comes." In Pioneer Girl, Wilder wrote that we would lie in our beds those nights, listening to the wind howl and shriek while the house rapped with the force of it and snow sifted in and around the windows and through the nail holes. And a few pages later observed, "It seems like it is times like this that test people. It is times like this that test people." Laura and her family survived the test. At the end of the long winter, spring returns, and family celebrates Christmas in May. But the family is changed by the experience, especially Laura. She emerges from the long winter as a young woman who has survived a harrowing experience and comes through to the other side stronger, more capable, yet ever hopeful. We are all being tested now. It's time to shake our fists at COVID-19 and hold on. When we get to the other side, we too will be transformed, perhaps in unimaginable ways. The long winter provides a kind of a roadmap. Its closing lines are full of hope and inspiration and one final strategy for getting through our current crisis. The fear and the suffering of the long winter seem to rise like a dark cloud and float away. Spring had come. The sun was shining warm, the winds were soft, and the green grass growing. And so that heart-to-heart message on this day, as we experience our own blizzardy conditions and our own turmoil dealing with COVID-19 and all that is happening in the world, there is hope that spring will come and we will be transformed. So Pat and Mike and Mike, what are your favorite winter memories and what are you going to do to get through these blizzardy conditions and your message for our listeners today?
This is Mike Metz, Anna, and I've got to say, before I go out to blaze a trail so I can go feed horses this morning, I just want to let you know that you inspired me to write a little four-line poem. Snowflakes drop down, the winds they blow, but when flakes melt, the green things will grow.
Aha.
Mike Metz, that was fantastic. Yeah. I'm giving you applause.
Yeah. Well, this one from Pat, I always enjoy watching the neighborhood kids sledding on the cemetery hill there along 13th Street. And I still have my toboggan, so maybe that's going to happen.
And how about you, Mike Murphy?
This is Mike Murphy, and I consider any winter I remain above the ice a good one.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you got to love it.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't, but I love your messages, and so I wish everybody a happy weekend. So back to you, Pat.
Okay, thank you so much, Anna Banana, for another welcome installment of KHOY's Heart to Heart Messages.
Local Talk airs at 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Friday at KHOI FM at 89.1 FM. And remember to support this station financially when you go to the website khoifm.org, and you'll find a yellow donate button there. And we'd really like you to become a member. The views of KHOI's guests do not necessarily reflect the views of KHOI. This is a nonprofit, nonpartisan media. We do provide a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information in our community.
And remember that you can hear this program online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. Yes, tell all your friends far and wide, KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. This program is engineered by Mike Murphy. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Local Talk producers Ursula Rudenberg and Lynn Carey. And thank you, Dennis Hart, with your Friday report. And thanks to our guest, Diane Larson, and with In Spirit Metaphysical, Susan Guiasta and Vanessa Baker-Latimer, our Ames Housing Coordinator. And thank you, Mike Metz and Anna Magnuson. And thank you all. I've been your host, Pat Schlarbaum. Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from the CD The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other artists you heard was Phosphorescence, Tomorrow is a Long Time. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. So if you'd like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again.
See you
again.
On the radio.